Merry Christmas, everyone. Some of you guys are new here today, and someone earlier was introducing me to some new people, and they're saying, this is a Christian church. You may be wondering why I'm wearing this. Well, at our church, every last week of the month, I wear something a little bit unique, something from a different country. And this clothing is specifically from the Muslim people group in China. And, I've already talked with a couple people. I am going to take off my hat because when I'm preaching God's word, I want to make sure that I don't have any kind of covering on me. I just want to read one verse for you guys just to explain why. In the Old Testament, people may have had some head coverings and things like that. And this is what it says in 2 Corinthians. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And so there's a basic idea that when we're coming before the Lord, we want to come just completely open and just as a symbolism. We don't want to have especially the Bible talks about men. And if you're curious about this idea, we could talk more about it after the service. But we want to come before the Lord completely unveiled and knowing that we are able to come before the Lord without any fear. I'm so glad to be here with you all, and I'm so glad that you're joining us here today. And we've been going through a sermon series during this month of December called Joy, Past, Present, Future. And during this time, we've been talking about the different topics that many Christians, many churches around the world go through. We've been talking about the topics of joy and peace and love. And today we're going to be talking about hope, but we call the whole sermon series joy because the end result in it all is going to be joy in the Lord. We also added the words past, present, and future because when we talk about Advent, we're talking about how we're looking forward to Christmas and how we celebrate what happened in the past. We celebrate how Jesus Christ came to this earth. But we also think about the future, how Jesus Christ will come once again in the future. And thus we use the word Advent, which means coming. We remember how Jesus Christ came many, many years ago, but we also remember how Jesus Christ will come in the future. And so we also want to talk about the present and how all of these ideas affect us today. Our sermon title for today is Encouraging Hope. Encouraging Hope. And we're going to be looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. So why don't we turn our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 4. And if you have one of these Bibles from the outside, one of these blue Bibles, we're going to be looking at page 987, one of these Bibles. All right? Page 987. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. This is the reading of God's word. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Amen. You know, it's just such a wonderful thing that we get to celebrate Christmas on Sunday. This is something that we don't really see often, but today we get to celebrate Christmas on this Sunday. And this morning, my kids woke up, and They're looking for presents by the tree, so we celebrate Christmas in that kind of way. And my young daughter, she came out and she said, "Wow, Santa has come! Santa has come!" She doesn't say like, you know, "Santa brought gifts" or "Santa came." She kind of gave it some respectful tone. "Santa has come." And then the very next thing that she said was, "Mommy, Santa has come." Because the kids all week have been saying, "Mommy, it's you, right? You're Santa, right?" And so they're saying, my little daughter was saying, "Mommy, Santa has come." It's just so funny. This morning we're opening up gifts and we're just having a wonderful time. We had to settle them down a little bit because they did get into a fight also. And so we said, it's Christmas. Let's be gracious to one another. And, you know, Christmas is supposed to be a time that's filled with joy, with excitement, with love, and especially as we remember our Lord Jesus Christ and how he came to this earth. But even with this type of idea, there are a lot of people, and I mentioned this last night in our Christmas Eve service. Oh man, Christmas Eve service was just such a wonderful time. If you missed it, you can watch it online. If you just go to our YouTube channel at Friendship Presbyterian Church in Taipei, you'll be able to go and see what we talked about in our Christmas Eve service. But it was just such a wonderful time. Just as I talked about yesterday, for some people, Christmas is not a time that they look forward to. And it may be because there might be some really difficult memories that they have. For some people, Christmas is not a time that they look forward to because it reminds them of a loved one that passed away. Maybe Christmas is around the time that you celebrated their birthday. Or maybe it was around this time that your loved one passed away. For some people here, this is a very difficult Christmas because this is the first time that you're going to have to celebrate Christmas without that one loved one there. And so though Christmas, yes, it is a time of celebration, yes, it is a time where we're supposed to be happy and joyful, but it is true that among us here, there are some people that have a very difficult time during this season because there's this expectation that we're supposed to be joyful, and it's hard to be joyful. Personally, this year has been a very difficult year for me. And I know that a lot of you have gone through a similar experience with me. Our church has gone through a very difficult year this past year, as we saw a number of people in our church pass away. And even in my own life, I went back this summer to America, and I heard that one of my really close friends, that he had pancreatic cancer, and just a few days later, he passed away. I was thankful that I got to attend his funeral, but that was really hard. And throughout the year, it was almost every single month, I heard of someone passing away, someone that's related to a congregation member, someone that's of a friend, about a friend back at home, or even a relative of my wife's passed away recently. It's been a difficult year, and it's not just because of people passing away. Some of you guys have expressed to me the idea of loss. Just the feeling that something or someone is not there anymore. Some of you have struggled through this past year, and it's just not been an easy year. And so even though we're here on this Christmas Sunday, even though it's supposed to be a time of joy, perhaps for a lot of us, we're struggling during this season as we think about what went on this past year. For some reason, I'm just discovering that my notes are not on the PowerPoint, but that's okay. So you guys will just have to listen very carefully. Normally, I have notes here to help you guys, but the main idea for today is this. It's okay, Zeno. I think it's okay. The main idea for today is this. Be encouraged by our hope in Jesus Christ. Zeno? It's here? All right, sorry about the technical difficulties. Great. Thank you, Zeno. Now you guys don't have to listen carefully. The main idea for today is this. In spite of the fact that we have experienced, and I say this because maybe some of you guys are just love Christmas and it's just a wonderful time. I'm going to be controlling the slides here. All right, thank you. So even though it's been a difficult year for some of us, but one thing that we as Christians, if you're not a Christian, I'm glad that you're here. Technical difficulties. Okay, this, for some reason, I think it's set on like auto change. So I'm on a timer now. Let's not use this, actually. Let's not use this. Can we just go back to our regular... Yeah. Where was I? Sorry about the technical difficulties. Okay, so what I was saying was that it's been a difficult year. And if you're here as a non-Christian, I'm so very glad that you're here joining us. And I would like you to just listen in on what we talk about as Christians. If you are a Christian, I want us to listen carefully. That even though we are in a time of difficulty, even though some of us are going through such difficult times, even though we are struggling, some of us are struggling with mental health, some of us are struggling physically, some of us have struggled with sickness and cancer and all kinds of things this past year. Some of us, we've gone through so much, but even if we have gone through such difficulties, there is always hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Zeno, can you change it to our slide, our title? Thank you so much. Zeno, you are doing so much for us today. Thank you so much. And so because of the fact that we are Christians and we have a hope, the main idea for today is to be encouraged that we do have a hope in Jesus Christ. And the three ideas that we're going to go through today are, number one, the need for hope. Why do we need hope? Number two, the reason to hope. What is it that is our hope today? And number three, the ability to hope. One last thing, Zeno. Can you go to the sermon slide? Thank you so much. So we're going to talk about be encouraged that we do have a hope in Jesus Christ. And the three points are the need for hope, the reason to hope, and the last one is the ability to hope. As we look at our passage today, and again, this is the reason why I would love for you guys to have your Bibles open. If you would have your Bibles open this morning to 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18, I'm going to be pointing back at the verses. So if we look at verse 13, it says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." What was going on during this time was that there were a lot of people that passed away in the church of Thessalonica. And because these people passed away, a lot of the Christians were a little bit concerned. They heard that Jesus Christ was going to return and was going to take us to be with him in heaven. And the people were not concerned that the people passed away, but they were concerned that the people that passed away would not be around when Jesus Christ would come back, and these people that passed away would not be able to share in the joy of being with Jesus Christ. And so that's why it says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who are asleep. And it's talking about those that passed away, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. Now, I want us to focus on that part where it says that that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. There are people in this world that have no hope, but you, Christian, you are a person that has hope. You are different from those people that have no hope. And it says here that we don't have to grieve as those who do not have hope. Now, I want to be clear here. What it's not saying is you should not be sad. That's not what it's saying. It's not saying you should not grieve. But what it's saying is don't grieve in the same way that those who have no hope grieve. You can grieve. It's proper. It's necessary to grieve and to be sad and to be upset about some of the things that happened this past year. But at the same time, the way that we grieve will be different from those people that have no hope. You know, the thing that the Thessalonian church, they experienced, and the thing that we experience in our lives is very similar. We're talking about the need for hope. Why is it that we need hope? Why was it that they needed hope? Well, it's because people experience death. And when we talk about death, death is not just something that's physical, but death is also something that's spiritual. Something that's experienced through our emotions. Something that's experienced even in our minds. Death is something that we all experience, not just one day when we physically die, but death is something that has come into this world and we experience it on a daily basis. What am I talking about? Where does this need for hope come from? Well, the Bible talks about, and this is the basic belief that all Christians believe in. This is the gospel, the good news that we talk about. Let me just give you four words. Creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. One more time. Creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. When we talk about creation, we're talking about how God does exist. And God created this world, and he created it in a way so that God would have a relationship with humankind. God created the world to be perfect and good. But let's think about what it means that he created this world. Before God created the world, there was nothingness. There was a void there. And when there was a void, what God did was God inserted life into this void. God is the creator of life. God is the source of life. And God inserted life into this void, and there was this beautiful creation that came about because of that. But what ended up happening was that people, they decided to separate themselves from God. They decided to reject God's ways. They didn't want to follow God's perfect world. And people wanted to follow their own way. And what they decided to do was they decided to separate themselves by disobeying God. And the result? The result was that they no longer had a relationship with God. They no longer had a relationship with God who created life. They no longer had a relationship with the one who is the source of life. And what that meant was that for every human being, there's now that void in our hearts again. And so anytime you experience a sense of guilt. Anytime you experience a sense of brokenness, anytime you experience sadness, anxiousness, shame, anytime you have this feeling, and it doesn't have to be because you did something terrible, it could just be from one little comment that someone makes. Sometimes I get a little bit sensitive. And my wife just has to say one thing. She might say something like, "Did you remember to take out the trash?" Just that one little statement. And in my heart, if I'm honest with myself, and my wife is not being accusatory. She's not saying this in a way to hate on me or anything like that. She's just asking me. But in my heart, I feel this sense of guilt. I feel this sense of shame. I want to just say a lot of things to her to try to defend myself. I want to try to say all these things. But hey, yeah, I didn't take out the trash. But you know, I cleaned the dishes. And I try to say all kinds of stuff to try to fill this void, because I'm beginning to feel that void once again. I'm beginning to feel it, and so I want to fill it. Because I feel like if I can fill my void with something, then maybe I can get a sense of life once again. The reason why we need hope is because there is this void that exists in our hearts, and every single human being will feel that void here and there. Anytime you feel that anxiousness or tiredness, or you feel tired with life, anytime you feel that there's no meaning to this life, some of you guys may be struggling with depression, some of you guys may be struggling with some type of sickness, and anytime you feel like your life is just not going well, something's just not whole, anytime you feel that, that's just a little taste of that void that exists in your heart, and it's a sign for you to tell you it's because God is not present there. But you know what? This is the case for every single human being in this world. But this doesn't have to be the case for you if you are a Christian. Why? Because we come to our second point. Our second point is the reason to hope. You know, when we talk about how there was this void that every single human being experiences, when we look back in history and we think about the time of Jesus Christ when he was born, it was during a time when the people of Israel, they understood that they were far from God. They understood themselves that they were punished by God because they continued to turn away from God. They were in a place where they were conquered by the Greeks and the Romans, and they were not, they didn't have sovereignty over their own land. They understood that there was a void among them, and they wanted hope. They wanted something there. They wanted some light at the end of the tunnel. And you know what happened back then? Jesus Christ was born. In that place of darkness, in that place where there felt like there was no hope, God inserted life into that place. And that life was Jesus Christ coming into the world. Jesus Christ came and he lived a perfect life. And then he died on the cross. And once again, it seemed like there was no hope there. But the reason why he died was because, as Christians, we believe, this is the reason for hope. We believe that our darkness, our void, our emptiness was placed on Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ experienced that for us. And he died on the cross. And it seemed like, once again, that there was no hope there. But once again, God comes, the source of life. He injects life, and Jesus Christ rises again from the dead, and Jesus Christ is alive today. And what that means is that Jesus Christ also gives a promise for the future, that one day Jesus Christ will return and he will once again insert life into this broken world, and he will do it ultimately. When Jesus Christ returns one day, we have a future hope that we look forward to, that Jesus Christ will come and will finally insert life into this world, and he will do that in the ultimate sense. And he will do that for all those who believe in Jesus Christ. If you are not a believer here today, I want you to know that there is hope for you. If you experience this emptiness in your own life, Jesus Christ, he says, come to me. I will give you rest. Jesus Christ says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus says, I have come to give life and to give it abundantly. Jesus Christ is the answer. And all you have to do is come before the Lord and say and admit, I have experienced this void and I want to experience life. And if you do, if you say, Jesus, I believe that you took my void, you took my emptiness, and you died on the cross, and I believe that you rose again from the dead, I want to experience life with you. If you do this, then this future hope that I'm talking about is for you as well. Now, I want us to listen carefully about what this future hope is about. Why do we have this reason for hope? What is it that we're looking forward to? It's a really encouraging hope if you really think about it. What is that thing? The idea is that when we talk about Jesus Christ coming back to insert life into this world, what we're talking about is not just a spiritual idea where we go into some cloudy place where our spirits are just happy together. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what the Bible is talking about. What the Bible is talking about is that you, even if you die, you will be brought back to life and you will be able to live forever. This world is filled with people that want to find some type of answer to try to live forever. I don't know if you've been reading the news about these topics, but for a long time, people have been trying to use medicine to try to make life longer. But what does medicine do? It doesn't allow you or make you to live forever. It just prolongs your life and you will still die. It just delays death. That's what medicine does. Ultimately, that's what it does. And so because medicine doesn't work, what do? People turn to technology. People turn to talking about, you know, if we can take our brain matter and put it somehow into a computer, then maybe we'll be able to live forever. Our consciousness will somehow be able to live forever. And people are trying to do all kinds of stuff to try to do that lately. People are wanting to try to find some kind of way to bring meaning into their life, and they want to not struggle with sicknesses. People want to try to find some way to live forever. But here's the thing. The Bible says when Jesus Christ returns, he's going to insert life into this world, and we will be able to live forever with him. Now, I don't know what life is going to be like. The Bible says that it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. God's going to make this world into a world that has no sin, no pain, no sickness, no death. We're going to be living on this earth. This is the idea of heaven. We're going to be living on this earth. God's going to change it so that there's no sickness, no pain, no sin, no tears, no death. That's the kind of world that we're going to live in, and we are going to experience this life in a way where, you know, if you've never gone to some places, maybe you'll be able to get to those places and finally see those places. I don't know, but the Bible says that it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and we're going to be experiencing this life, a life that's eternal with God. So whatever sickness you're struggling with, whether physical or mental illness, we won't have to struggle with that any longer. If you're struggling because of age and your body's just breaking apart, we won't have to struggle with that any longer. If you're struggling because people around you are saying that you're not good enough, even those kinds of things, you won't have to struggle with that any longer. If you're struggling because of finances and you're wondering if you're going to be able to make enough money to be able to retire, you won't have to struggle with that any longer. If you're wondering about how to make your relationship with your family better, because, man, your family has been broken and it's just been really difficult, you won't have to struggle with that any longer. This is the kind of world, this is the kind of life that we're talking about. This is the reason that Christians, I'm talking to you, I'm telling you, whenever you get so caught up in this world and what's going on right now, look to the future and remember that Jesus Christ is coming to make all things new. There is this encouraging hope that we have. Remember creation, fall, redemption, restoration. God created this world. He inserted life into this world. People fell away from God. They rejected God, and so they experienced that void and that emptiness again. But Jesus Christ, out of love for people, he inserted life into this world, and he was born. This is what we're celebrating on Christmas. He was born, and he lived a life, and he died, but he rose again from the dead. And one day, Jesus Christ will return. The first R, redemption, is talking about how Jesus Christ died and rose again. And the last R, restoration, is talking about how Jesus Christ will come back and restore all things to make all things new. And so we come to our last point. The ability to hope. The ability to hope. Some of you guys might think that this is great. It's nice. It sounds kind of encouraging, but even if you're talking about some life without tears or pain or sorrow or sadness, I'm still feeling it today. And just thinking about how my life is going right now and just how terrible things have been this past year, I don't know if I want to live forever. I don't know if I want to continue to experience what I'm experiencing in this world. Some of you guys may have this kind of thought. I want us to go back to the passage, and I'm just going to read through the passage again. And I want us to see one more time that there is this hope, but look for that reason of why looking forward to the future is just such a wonderful thing. This is what it says. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of a command, with the voice of an archangel and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And this is the important part. And so we will always be with the Lord. And the last statement is, therefore, encourage one another with these words. Where does this ability to hope come from? The ability to hope does not come from ourselves. And so, brothers and sisters, if you are a Christian, I'm speaking specifically to you. If you're having a hard time setting your eyes on the future and saying, I'm experiencing that hope. If you're having a hard time saying, I know I'm supposed to be joyful, or have peace in my heart, but I'm having a hard time. Life is difficult. People are difficult. Children are difficult. Marriage is difficult. Dealing with sickness is difficult. Life is difficult. If you're in this kind of place, let's remember together what this passage says. The reason why there is a future hope is because we get to be with the Lord forever. This is the key. Not because we're going to live forever. Not because this world is going to be a wonderful place. But because we get to be with the Lord, the source of life, who will fill every void, every pain, and every sorrow that's in your heart. We get to be with the Lord who will insert life into our lives. But this is also what the Bible says. The Bible also says that we don't have to wait for that day. That Jesus Christ has made a way because he is alive today and he sent us his Holy Spirit. Jesus is with us today. We don't have to wait for the future hope to experience life today. If you are a Christian, even if you're going through difficult times, and yes, we will. It will be difficult because sin still exists in this world and sin still exists in our own hearts. It will be a difficult life, but the thing that we hold on to is that Jesus says, I am with you always. Even if you forget that I'm with you, I am still here with you in your sadness, in your sorrow, and in your pain. I am still here. And if you've forgotten, it's okay. I'm not going to leave you. So the ability to hope does not come from ourselves, but it comes from the Lord, who sends us many reminders and tells us over and over again, there is a reason to hope. You don't have to keep defending yourself. You don't have to make a lot of excuses. You don't have to hold on to that feeling of shame. You don't have to hold on to that feeling of guilt. You don't need to hold on to that feeling of anxiousness. God is with you. God is going to take care of you. Jesus is with you. I titled today's sermon as Encouraging Hope. And yes, I'm talking about the hope that is very encouraging. But the ability to hope also comes from people that are continually encouraging others to hope. And so the other way to think about this is to think of encouraging as the verb and to think of hope as the noun. And to say, you know, anytime that we come to church, we want to be encouraging hope into people's lives. The ability to hope does not just come from ourselves. It comes from the Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus, the way that he works is that he works through each of us as well to encourage hope in one another. And that's why it's so important every single week when we're beginning to lose our idea of hope to come back to church and hear about Jesus Christ once again and to hear about the hope that we have. And when we talk with other people in this church, we begin to encourage hope into one another to say, remember that Jesus Christ came in the past and inserted life into this world. And remember that Jesus Christ will come in the future one day and will insert life into this world. And Jesus Christ is here with us today, inserting life into us today. Let's encourage one another with the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And not only does it stop here, it allows us to go into this world that is continually experiencing this void and this emptiness. And we can go out into this world and we can say, there is a hope that exists. All the emptiness you're feeling, there is a source of life, our Lord Jesus Christ, that you can come to know. And you can begin to experience hope as well. And so, let's all look to the Lord Jesus Christ today. And remember that he did come into this world in the past. Remember that he is coming into this world once again to insert life. And remember that today, if you turn your eyes to Jesus and believe that Jesus Christ did die and rise again, then you can begin to experience that hope, not out of our own strength, but because Jesus is with us today. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for this wonderful truth, this wonderful, wonderful truth that we can have this hope because you inserted life into this world and because you inserted life into our lives. Lord, I pray for everyone here that we may turn our eyes to our Lord Jesus Christ, remembering how he came into this world on that Christmas day, as we celebrate Christmas today, remembering how Jesus Christ will come into this world once again to make all things new, and remembering that Jesus Christ, you are here with us today. Lord, I pray for every one of us that we would remember these things, that we would trust in you, and that you would insert hope and joy and peace and love into each of our lives. I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.